Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody, this is Barbara Hofmeister, your host of the To Be show. And you are in for a special treat tonight because our guest today is Dr. Ed Maloney. And Dr. Maloney has been a therapist, an executive, and a consultant for over 40 years. And he has converted his entire life to assisting people now, these days, as a certified law of attraction and life coach. And he says that he finds it much more fun. So let's hear what he has to say about that. Dr. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am, Barbara, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I'm really looking forward to that because you have a book that's called Focus Change, A Practical Guide to Manifestation Constructs. And I want to hear all about that in a minute. But first, tell us a little bit about what made you change your profession? What made you go from being a consultant to actually being a life coach? And maybe you can explain also the difference between consultant and life coach or law of attraction coach, because many people think that a coach is like a consultant. So maybe you can help them understand what the differences are.
Sure. Well, I started off as a therapist, and there's not much difference between therapy and consulting. In both cases, the client or patient is relying on the person to have answers for them. It's rather interesting. As a therapist, in the first 45 minutes to an hour of doing an assessment, you can probably come up with exactly what the person needs to do. Unfortunately, you can't tell them that. You have to lead them to it so that they make their own conclusion, and it sometimes gets frustrating. Also, as a consultant, you're solving problems for organizations and people, and they're looking to you for ideas on how they can solve their problems, etc. It's more of a, you're considered the visiting expert if you come from more than 50 miles away and carry a briefcase, but at any rate, they're looking for you to tell them what to do, whereas a coach, the difference is you take people from where they are, make suggestions to them on tools, techniques, and processes that they can use, only to discover that all the answers are really contained within them, and it's just a matter of helping them to see that and asking them which one feels better. And that therein lies the basic difference.
Yeah, so as a coach, you really help people to discover their own answers, don't you?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because I tend to, I always want to give advice when I notice what is the problem. As you said, you can normally get to that very quickly, but it's no good telling them because they won't hear it. They can't hear it yet.
That's correct. They have to be ready, and as I say, we can teach them the tools, techniques, and processes. But for a lot of people, up to this point, they've made the decision to play the game of life, if we can picture it as a game, according to someone else's programming and someone else's parameters. And every once in a while, they'll find a cheat code that makes them appear better at the game than they really are. But when they get to the end, they get the game over sign, and they're done, never realizing that they could become a co-creator of their own lives and do their own programming and make it exactly what they want it to be. They can attract that.
Mm-hmm. And that is what we want to talk about, how to attract it, how to manifest the things that we want in our lives. So You have written a book, Focus Change, A Practical Guide to Manifestation Constructs. And I imagine that, or not I imagine, when people read that book, will they actually be able to follow it? Will they be able to find their own journey, or will they be able to follow their own journey?
Actually, what I've done in the book is I've gone into a little bit of the scientific basis for how the law of attraction works and all of that. And I've also given a number of tools, techniques, and processes that anyone can use to find their own journey. And then teaching them how, which one feels better, you know, because you have always heard the messages when you were even a small child back before you could talk. Well, life's supposed to be a struggle. You keep your nose to the wheel, shoulder to the grindstone. And if you work hard, you'll make it. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. while those were well-intentioned bits of advice, they turn out not to be exactly accurate. So it's a matter of deciding what your real purpose is in being here and then attracting everything that it takes to get on with that real purpose. For a lot of people, that becomes a bit of a struggle. You can divide the mind into the conscious and subconscious, and all that pre-programming and all of those negative emotional limiting beliefs are, they're stored away in the subconscious. The subconscious is also the part of the mind that's responsible for all your autonomic reflexes, like breathing, heart rate, and all of that. But what most people don't realize is while your conscious mind is off creating or daydreaming or doing whatever it is you feel like doing, the subconscious is basically operating your life. So for a lot of people, they don't even know about negative emotional beliefs or limiting emotional beliefs until they run into a situation in which they're paying attention to what's going on and they hear their subconscious react to something in a way that they don't really consider desirable. It's really a simple matter to correct that. The subconscious is easy to reprogram. It's simply a matter of bombarding it with positive input. It may take a while, but eventually it will join your success team and you'll be on the way. The other piece that I recommend to people is if you do come up with a feeling that's not exactly what you want to feel, is that you simply ask yourself what benefit that feeling has for you in the here and now and in the future. And if the answer is none, you then ask yourself the questions, can you let it go, will you let it go, and when will you let it go, and then just let it go. So for some people, it helps to picture putting it in a bubble and letting the bubble rise ever higher in the sky until it finally dissipates and goes away. It may take a few times of doing that, but you should begin to notice immediately that it diminishes, and eventually it will disappear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what you teach about letting go. You put it in a bubble. I think that's interesting. I always teach or I show people that, you know, when you want to let something go, I've learned it that way, that I just imagine that it's in my hand and it's very uncomfortable there because it's not serving me anymore, but I'm still carrying it around. And I open my hand and I can, and as I'm talking, I'm opening my hand. You know, I've programmed myself to do that many years ago. And I actually open my hand and I can see it leave like it was, you know, and the hand gets lighter and I get lighter myself. So there is quite a few techniques that people can use to let things go, but they have to let things go before they have space for new things in their life, right?
That's absolutely true. That's an excellent method you're talking about. What I always tell people is there are numerous effective methods out there. Just find the one you resonate with and use
mm-hmm.
that one.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I learned it with the story about how they catch apes in Madagascar or somewhere, and the ape holds the banana, and the banana is in a little hole, so he gets in with his hand and he can grab the banana, but with the banana in his hand he can't get it out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he really hangs on to that banana for dear life in the real sense of the word, because he stays there until they come and pick him. And he doesn't let go of that stupid banana. So, and this is, somebody explained that to me about 20 years ago, and it was so descriptive and so real, and I could really see the picture, and I thought, this is what I'm doing with some of the things. I remember I was heartbroken at the time, lovesick, and I couldn't let go of the guy, so this is
the story they told me, and it really helped me a lot. So this is why I'm still doing it today. So how can people, people that are stuck, I mean, many people are feeling very stuck in their lives, especially the last couple of years with recession and a lot of financial problems happening. And, of course, the media is super negative about everything, so they create more and more fear and worries in people. How can people get unstuck?
That's an excellent question. What I recommend to people, and a lot of them are stuck. I've got clients all over the world, and one of the first things they get into is, well, I don't know how to get rid of this. The economy's worldwide bad, and, you know, what do I do about it? And I first thing I cite to them is, well, back in the so-called Great Depression in the United States, the economy sucked then, too. But there were a number of companies that started that have stuck around, and they're extremely successful today. So it really doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's what's going on within you that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that if they're really, really hung up on a feeling or a limiting emotional belief that's way down deep inside and they don't know how to get rid of it, what I ask them to do initially is close their eyes and concentrate on that feeling. Don't try to repress it. Don't suppress it. Just focus on it. Acknowledge that it's there and see if you can locate where in your body you feel it the most. And you'll get various answers. Some people say in my stomach, in my chest, in my head, whatever. And I'll say, okay, focus on it. And then as you're focusing on it, I want to know, does the feeling get to be less? Is it the same? Or is it strengthening? Usually the longer they focus on it, they'll say it's diminishing. And I'll say, okay, then we go back through the same exercise. What benefit is it having for you in the here and now or in the future? Can you let it go? Will you let it go? And when will you let it go? And hopefully the appropriate answer is now.
Mm-hmm. Very good, yeah. I use that too. And I even use it on myself quite often.
Oh, sure. That's the other thing. I can't tell you how many clients have told me that they have reached the pinnacle of the emotional scale, and they're staying in tune with the vortex at all times. And I'm going, at all times? Oh, yeah, this is fantastic. I love it. And I said, well, if you can do that, you're better than I am, because I can't stay there all the time. Wish I could, but I can't. And I don't believe there's too many people that can. We are human beings, subject to all the emotions, problems, challenges, and opportunities that come along for human beings. So what I'm going to give you is tools to deal with the times when you're not in tune with the vortex.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain to the people who don't know what you mean with the vortex?
Sure.
What it is?
Basically, if you were tuning in, let's say a radio, and you wanted to listen to old classical music, let's say, and you tuned into a rock and roll station, you're probably not going to hear classical music. So it's a matter of getting in touch with the appropriate frequency in the universe to attract that which you want. That appropriate frequency, if you want to listen to classical music, of course, it's not going to be a rock and roll station. So the emotional scale is subject to the law of polarity, which basically says that opposite are just opposite ends of the same pole, like hot, cold, love, hate, that sort of thing. So they're all energy. There's no such thing as a bad feeling or a bad emotion. They are all energy. But which vibration would you rather put out? And by asking yourself that, you can also ask yourself which one feels better. Then you go closer to the proper end of the emotional scale, and you're putting out the right vibration. The vortex is nothing more than a word for the center of energy in the universe that people can tune into.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it, I mean, I know that I can, oh, sorry, I had
sorry.
To put some wood on my stove because it was getting cold. Can you tell me, or not can you tell me, I mean, my own experience is that I can get close to the vortex, but it is rare that I'm really fully in it, that I am really 100% there, that I am totally with it, as I call it. And but for me, the feeling that I have when I am totally with it is a feeling of absolute, unlimited love full stop. It's just, I am. And it is. It's just that feeling, you know, of complete oneness. And everything is great as it is. Everything is good as it is. There is no necessity for change. There is no need to do anything in that moment. You just are. And it is the most peaceful feeling on planet Earth. And as you said, I wish I could be in it all the time. But like you, I can't.
I don't think too many people really can. But once you've had that feeling, you're right. There is absolutely nothing like it. I happen to believe that God is a God of love, and that each one of us had love placed inside us, and that's what it's all about. That first it starts with love of self. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love others, and you certainly can't receive love. So whenever you get in touch with that feeling and in tune with that feeling, once you've felt it, like you say, there's nothing like it. And that's what you always want to get back to. It's a process, not an event. It may happen, you know, after some work, after a lot of work or whatever. But once you've been there, you know what it's like, and your entire focus should be getting back to it.
That's it, yeah. Totally agree. Totally agree with that. If people, I mean, I know a lot of people, and that was me also in earlier years, they do not have self-love. They have very low self-esteem, very low respect for their own value, and don't feel love for self. And even they have been told in some cases that it is egoistic if you love yourself. You know, you first have to love others. And you should not love yourself. I mean, that is arrogant. In my eyes, it has absolutely nothing to do with arrogance. It's exactly the opposite. But what do you tell people that, what can you advise people to do, or how can you help people that have never experienced this feeling of unconditional self-love?
And that is probably one of the more common things that comes up. And if they believe in God, which I don't see how anyone cannot, I will tell them, you know, God doesn't make junk. So you have all the reason in the world to love yourself. And you've got to do that before you can love others. And, you know, that's where it all starts. So I can give them all kinds of tools, techniques, and processes to help with that. But they're going to have to do it. And as I say, once they begin to experience, okay, what do you like about you? And you don't start with love. You start with like. And what is it that you would like to change if you could? And then you go through that entire process. And they really, if they do it properly, they'll come to the conclusion, you know, there's some pretty neat things about me. All right. So you've got a reason to love yourself, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I find that you can't get them with logic. You can't get them with logical arguments. I get people best when I can touch their emotions and I can help them feel whatever emotion they want to feel or they try to avoid, also in some cases, so that they see it is there and why is it there, and that I am in control.
And that's the key.
Exactly.
That is exactly the key. Yeah, go back to a point in time for many adults when you were doing something that you really got some joy from, and how did you feel about yourself then? And if they can picture that, they can bring back the feeling.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's from the anchoring and NLP. We use that a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I find I use that quite a bit, actually. I use that for myself. For instance, I anchor every win, every little win, because I had such low self-esteem once upon a time. Fortunately, it's gone now, but it was pretty strong in my early years. And I learned to anchor the wins. You know, every time I do something, however small, that I am happy with, that I'm satisfied with, whether it is to bake a cake or whether it is to make a nice radio show, or whether it is, I don't know, write a nice email to a friend that makes him happy, or give a smile to someone in the street, that you know, make their time better, whatever it might be that I feel good about, I tap myself on the back. I tap myself on the shoulder because it's too complicated to get to the back, but I tap myself on the shoulder, and I do that each and every time I have a little feeling of success.
And
that adds
great.
Up. Yeah, and it adds up. So when you need that feeling, you know, because you're not feeling on top of the world today and you've got not such a great day, this is when you get it back. You tap yourself on that same spot and the emotions come back again, the emotion
mm-hmm.
of feeling good about yourself. So I find that very useful.
And that's an excellent exercise, by the way, the one that I have recommended to a lot of people. And once they start doing it, they get in the habit of doing it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, once it becomes a habit, then you've always got a tool you can use.
Exactly. And all these tools are so easy tools. I hope people will play this back because these are easy tools that we're giving you, very easy tools, some questions to ask yourself, some anchoring techniques, tools how to let go. All of these are easy to use tools, but it's no good just listening to us. You need to use them, you know. It's like if you have the best car on planet Earth and you don't use it, it's no good.
That's right.
This is exactly the same. So take this exercise, listen to the show afterwards, and write down those exercises and use them. Make it a habit.
That's one thing that I've done with the book. It you know, for some people the title's a bit disconcerting because Focus Change, A Practical Guide to Manifestation Constructs. The Practical Guide to Manifestation Constructs sounds to a number of people like a scientific work. Although I do cite some science, it is not written like a science manual. I've had numerous clients buy the book. Some of them are on their sixth or seventh reading, and a number of them are telling me, you know, this is like about $60,000 worth of coaching. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but I'm glad you're getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, I think these are the best books because you know my book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours, and that's similar. It's a I have a lot of tools and techniques in there, and I personally use the book myself, you know. Whenever I feel a bit stuck or I need to clarify a certain situation, I use some of the techniques in the book. And also, when you work through it once a year, you get different answers because you've grown, you have developed, you've changed since the last time. And now you are going to the next step, you know, so you get answers for your next bit of the journey, which is wonderful.
And that's one of the things that I enjoy about your book. It's a workbook. I mean, literally, it takes you through and shows you how you use it and then makes a recommendation that they do the same thing. And it's just a great, great workbook.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it is very useful, but if people don't work it, nothing much happens.
Yeah, if you're just going to put a book on the shelf and let it gather dust, it's not going to do anybody any good.
Exactly. So here are two books that are practical. Here are two books that are useful. And if you feel stuck, if you feel that life is not going your way and there's nothing you can do about it, those are the books to read. Because we give you practical tools like the ones we've already mentioned in the last 15, 20 minutes. Those are tools that anybody can use under any circumstances. You don't need money for it. You don't need help for it. You can do it by yourself. So
and therein lies the secret.
Exactly. And it's always available to everybody, so they can really use it. I mentioned something just before the show, a topic that I thought would be really useful. What was it? I forgot it. Oops.
Oh, my. If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Oh, yeah, probably. Oh, that's so typical, isn't it? Oh, well. Anyway. One thing I wanted to ask you. You work with a lot of clients like I do. Have you noticed or do you have the same experience than me? And that is that most people don't have a clear outcome for their life in mind. They don't feel a purpose, or they don't know their purpose. They're just sort of drifting through life.
And that, you know, I think the last time we talked, or on one of your shows, at any rate, you mentioned like 95% of them don't even know what their purpose is. And that's certainly been my finding. A lot of people don't even realize there is such a thing as a purpose, and they're sitting there saying, well, you know, I got a job. Isn't that my purpose? I don't know. Does it give you satisfaction? Does it make you happy? Do you love what you're doing? Well, no. Oh, maybe we need to get into this a little bit. So for a lot of them, they've never even given it any thought. The other piece is that they're going to get a lot of reinforcement from what I call the misery loves company crowd, and that's people who are complaining about everything, and everything is a downer, and the world's going to pieces, and the economy's in the toilet, and I don't know, we can't do anything about it, but let's all get together and complain. And they're trying to bring them down to their level. So, you know, if you want to join the misery loves company crowd, you're probably listening to the wrong show, because that's not something I would recommend for anybody.
And I will second that. I will second that. I cannot recommend that at all. And if you want to get out of where you are right now, if you are not in the situation where you want to be, if you feel that life has more to give to you, then I can assure you that it has. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that feeling.
That's right.
Now is the time, you know, today, now is the time. Now is the only time that you can change anything. And don't wait for society to change. Don't wait for the governments to change. That will probably never happen by the looks of it. Just start with yourself, because when you change, everything around you changes. And this might seem totally unreal, but experience it. As soon as you do things different, and as soon as you start thinking and feeling different, which happens, one goes with the other, then you will also notice as that things around you are changing, people are reacting different to you. Isn't that weird? You know, I have had this happen when I go to a, you know, when I went to Landmark Education. When I came back from the seminar, my parents were different.
It works.
Yeah. But
there's an old expression called seeing is believing, and what I attempt to teach everybody is believing is also seeing. If you believe it, if the mind can conceive it, and you can believe it, you can achieve it. So nothing's impossible.
Nothing is impossible, and many people in the world are showing it to us, proving it to us every single day. So you just have to open your eyes and join forces with those people that have big dreams, that have big goals, or come to people like Dr. Ed and myself that have gone through the valleys of life and have come out again on top of the mountains.
And that's
right?
Absolutely true. Amen to that.
Yeah. And we've done it firsthand. I mean, we are both not spring chickens anymore. But the good thing about us is that we have real experience. You know, we've experienced it in our own lives more than once. We have manifested things that have come to pass. And I'm sure that you had experienced, Dr. Ed, like I had, when we were really struggling and we had the feeling it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And we were ready to give up because it didn't seem to want to happen. And just as we come to that stage when we, you know, get worried about will it happen, can it happen, how, and then things open up.
Isn't that
because because we stayed on it. So how can, we're already at the end of the show, unfortunately, how can people get your book? How can people get in touch with you?
Okay. The best way to reach me is through my website, www.attractingabetterlife.com. The book is available in most bookstores, including Amazon, or you can go directly to publishamerica.com and get the book. I also would like to mention that Barbara's going to be my guest on April the 29th, back by popular demand, and we're looking forward to that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ed. I look forward I look forward to being on your show. And all this information is on the show page. His website is on the show page. The book is on the show page. So if you didn't hear it properly, go to our show page and you get all the information you need. And everybody, thank you very much for listening. And I see you next week, Tuesday, same time, same place, with another exciting guest. Have a wonderful life, and you are responsible to make it happen. See you soon. Thanks, Dr. Ed.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.